as they say, Tom Fairbanks, they're at the starting gate and they're off.
That sounds like the running for the roses.
Running for the bulls.
Or the run for the roses.
Run for the bulls. A running of the bulls. Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing our show. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Hello, everybody. It is the first day of autumn, but no, not technically. First day of autumn, the equinox is 6:03 tonight. Yes, so we are still in summer, but it is that transition time, and that's why our first guest is so appropriate, who I will introduce momentarily. The Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, the Buckmaster Show live line, when we do our telephone interviews, which we will do at 12:30 today, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. With me in studio, Dr. Zach Guido, the Buckmaster Show contributor on climate. Dr. Guido is an assistant research professor at Arizona Institutes for Resilience, acronym AIR. AIR coordinates interdisciplinary groups of faculty, students, and projects across the University of Arizona campus, from climate science to public policy, law, the arts, water resources, and beyond. Zach, good to see you. And as usual, your visits are uncanny in serendipitous because there is so much activity. First of all, before we talk about the monsoon, and of course we will, the Atlantic is really, really busy right now. Five tropical systems.
It is, and it had a slow start to begin with. And if people remember, there was expectations for above average hurricane activity, and that didn't play out up until quite recently. And of course, Bill, the hurricane of the day is Fiona, which wrecked a lot of damage across Puerto Rico, which is a place I'm quite familiar with. I worked there, so I was texting with my colleagues. They lost power.
3 months, they're saying, in some parts of the island. And, you know, the system, as you know, because you travel to Puerto Rico for work, you've done some projects down there in the mountains of Puerto Rico. They were, in many places, the grid, the electrical grid, was still very unstable from Maria, which hit the and devastated the island and tourism in 2017, 5 years ago. Now they got to deal with this.
Yeah, the energy has been a persistent problem. I mean, I was there a few months ago, and there was a fire in one of the transformers, and like 70% of the power went out for the island.
So wow.
So it is
even
quite
before
fragile.
The storm.
Even before, yeah, it's been quite fragile. You know, after Maria in 2017, there has been quite a bit of energy, sort of distributed energy, solar energy penetration. Not enough as probably is going to happen, you know, over the next 10 years, and generators, which has helped a little bit. But of course, you know, people in rural communities, people, you know, with less income, they have a hard time, you know, acquiring those sorts of resources. So yeah, the energy is a real big issue now. The story of Fiona was the rainfall, and the rainfall totals. So this was a Category 1 storm, I believe.
Which shouldn't have caused this kind of problem.
Yeah, I mean, they're all sort of unique. So yeah. This, Fiona dropped as much rain as Maria did. Now, Maria was
35 inches, is that what I'm hearing, yeah. Zach?
Yeah, I think that's correct in some places, which rivals what Maria dropped. And Maria was a stronger storm in the sense of winds, which is typically how it's mm-hmm. how it's measured. But the nuance of Fiona was in part that it was just sort of a slow moving storm, and so quite a bit of hours of rainfall was able to happen in Puerto Rico, and so flooding, major flooding happened more so than the wind damage. So
it took a right, headed up to the Turks and Caicos, which I understand have taken a lot of damage, big, beautiful tourism area. And then Bermuda's taking a hit today. The big news for Atlantic Canada and Halifax area, This is shaping up to be the biggest storm ever to hit Atlantic Canada. It will come in supposedly into Nova Scotia as a Cat 2, maybe Cat 3, 100 plus mile an hour winds. This is going to be bad news for Atlantic Canada.
Yeah, by some measures, this will be, by all accounts, the strongest storm on record to hit that part. And it's fueled in part because it's crossing a warmer than average North Atlantic. So that is also driving the storm, and it's probably going to do quite a bit of damage up there as well, as these storms pack, you know, very, very strong winds and quite a bit of rain. And the other thing I would say is just that, you know, the trajectory of these storms are determined in part by the sort of background jet stream positions. And so in a sort of different scenario, this storm would have gone eastward out into the ocean, but it's just so happened that it's evolving during a particular pattern, jet stream pattern, that's allowing it to sort of move into the Canadian region.
And then on the western side, we talked about a little bit on the show with my buddy Tom on the other side of the glass, because Tom spent 35 years up in Alaska. 33 years, he was a very well-known talk show host in Fairbanks, Alaska. Monsoon typhoon that hit the Aleutian Islands. Now, that was the biggest storm in 10 years, at least, to hit the Aleutians. Waves 5 to 6 stories high. Tremendous flooding up in the Nome area. And people are wondering, well, that's a long way away. What did it have to do with Arizona? Well, the half inch that we received up at our place night before last, we can thank the system that hit Alaska.
Yeah, this is really quite a cool phenomenon. Mm-hmm. From a weather perspective. I mean, obviously there's quite a bit of damage that happened in Alaska. And as you say, it was the one of the biggest storm in the last decade. So there's those hazards to contend with. But you had the storm's name, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, was Mirbok, I think.
Mirbok.
Yep, Typhoon Mirbok that... Mm-hmm. Was in sort of the Western Pacific. Again, this is the time of year in which we see hurricanes, right? Both in the Atlantic and the Pacific. So this is sort of normal. But it sort of moved, and it transitioned from a tropical storm, moved as it moved north, it transitioned into an extra tropical storm. And then it butted into the jet stream pattern. And what it ended up doing, you can see visuals of this. You can sort of look at the wind pattern, and you can see that the storm running into it and causing a deflection in the way that the jet stream was moving. So it caused a deflection north, much like you do if you drop like a stone, a large stone into a river, right? Mm-hmm. The water is going to move around it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the atmosphere is a fluid. It behaves like a fluid.
Mm-hmm.
And so it deflected the jet stream to the north, which caused it also to deflect to the south, and we got this big kink that ended up bringing a low pressure system down off the coast of California, and we had this big low pressure system that helped deliver just amazingly large totals of rainfall for Northern California for this time of year. This is the time of year; it's the peak of their fire season. Not a lot of rainfalls, right? On average, like in some of the cities, it's like barely a trace, and we had, you know, an inch and a half, two inches of rain, which was really, really quite important for tamping and suppressing the fire season.
Mm-hmm.
But it also, that low pressure system, then if we go a little bit further east, we had a high pressure system.
Mm-hmm.
And those two things combined to create this funnel for us here in the Southwest.
Yes.
That allowed tropical moisture to move into the area, which gave us a little bit of rainfall and the nice cloud cover that we saw in the last couple of days.
All right. On that note, why don't we take the break here? And when we come back, we'll take a deep dive into monsoon 2022 as we wrap it up. Officially, that would go into the books the end of September. September 30th will be the end of the monsoon, the summer thunderstorm season. Zach Guido sticks around for segment number 2 on the Buckmaster Show. But Zach, before we come back to you, I want to talk about my favorite bakery. You love bakery goods, don't you?
I mean, who doesn't?
I mean, who doesn't? Mona's Danish Bakery, they're serving lunch right now. They open for breakfast, Zach, 6:30 Tuesday through Saturday, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Sunday, which I'm usually up there either Saturday or Sunday sometimes. Both, they open at 7 on Sunday. They do a great breakfast, do a wonderful lunch. An item that's not on the menu, but I request it, so you can ask for it at lunch. I love the tuna melt that they do. So there's a little inside info about Mona's. Their website's monasdanishbakery.com. Back with Dr. Guido after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. I can't believe Green Things, 51 years. Maybe it's 52 now, but it's over a half century that they've been serving the public. Jan and Jack, the owners, are very meticulous about who they hire there. So that means that when you ask a question of their sales staff, if the associate doesn't know what plant you in particular would like, they will get you the information to the right. They'll get the right person. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. The website's greenthingsaz.com. The sister business is zocalovillage.com. All that great merchandise, the Talavera pottery stuff is beautiful. Also, we have support from our friends in Silver City. It's 81 over in Silver City. You know, before the rains came, I always said it's usually 10 degrees cooler in Silver. It's kind of been that way, even as we transition into fall here. A beautiful day over there. They had a lot of rain in southwestern New Mexico, so the Gila National Wilderness looks really good. 3-hour drive, you'll have a great time. The website is southwestnewmexico.org. Where to stay and what to do there on the website. We continue now. Dr. Zach Guido is with us, University of Arizona climate scientist. Let's talk about our summer rainy season. Some places like Mount Lemmon at what, over 30 inches, Zach?
32 at the top of Mount
Whoa,
Lemmon.
Whoa, 30-some inches.
It was a good monsoon for a lot of the parts of the Southwest.
It's funny that every monsoon is, there's no typical monsoon, as we've talked about on the program. When all is said and done, the Weather Service will have a bit below a normal monsoon.
At the airport.
At the airport.
Yeah. Yeah, and we talk about this during this season, how difficult it is to characterize the monsoon because it's so spatially and temporally diverse, right? Like, so top of Mount Lemmon, 32 inches so far this year, from June 15th through today.
I wonder if that's record territory.
It's not, because I looked at
I thought
last
you might
year.
Have, yeah, I was just curious if...
I'll get to that in a minute. Yeah,
okay.
So 32 at top of Mount Lemmon, and then, you know, like you mentioned at the airport, it's, you know, 4.5 inches. And obviously there's a huge elevation change there. And as you go up in elevation, you get more rain. And so that explains in large part the difference there. But just if you were to look around Tucson, you know, you've got, you know, 4.5 inches and at the airport, like you go out sort of north in Oro Valley, somewhere in 11, 12 inches out in Tucson Mountain Park, close to 7.5 inches, out in Saguaro National Park, 10 inches. So there's a lot of like variability just around Tucson. And then when you zoom out and look around the Southwest, right, like the monsoon footprint in the U.S., right? And again, we're on the sort of northern fringes of the monsoon. It's really a northern Mexico phenomenon. But mm-hmm. in the U.S., it's, you know, Arizona and for the most part, central and western New Mexico. And there's quite a bit of diversity in rainfall at that scale too. But what is so striking to me about this year is just how widespread the rainfall has been. I mean, it is, it's even more widespread than it was last year. And we were calling last year this generational monsoon. And that last year will be hard to top for Tucson. But when you look at like, well, what is the spatial footprint and how good was the monsoon like sort of across the Southwest? It's hard to find a better year than this year for the monsoon. I mean, I went back and coverage-wise
yeah.
and intensity.
Wow.
So I went back like 1999 as an analog, 2013, 2014. But, you know, I think we could make a compelling case that this is one of the wettest in aggregate monsoons on record, which is really hard to believe given that last year we had such an amazing monsoon.
It was a milestone monsoon.
Right. And the main difference, I would say, is that it was more intense in the population centers last year than it was this year. Like Tucson, well, the odds are totally against us to experience a July or even an August as wet as July was last year.
Right.
So, I mean, last year came in at the airport, 12, almost 13 inches of rain. And mm-hmm. again, this year we're under five. Mm-hmm. But and Phoenix also was, so Tucson and Phoenix were sort of like the epicenter of like the really wet regions across the Southwest last year. But this year it's more widespread.
Big picture then, 2020, which is the horrible year for everything. It was the beginning of the pandemic. It was our driest, second driest maybe on record. So here we have two back-to-back robust summer thunderstorm / monsoon seasons. That's very good news.
That's good news for the summer.
But it, yeah. You know, and again, when people see the headlines about Lake Powell and Lake Mead, this really doesn't impact it.
Well, the summer rainfall does very little for the water supply.
There you go.
You know, but it does help the vegetation. And
oh,
it,
yeah.
And, you know, it did put a nice end, you know, when the monsoon comes on early or at least on time in a robust way, it does sort of sever off our peak fire season. So that's a good news. But yeah, the water supply, and of course it does affect local water supplies, but not like the major ones that sort of we draw from the Lake Powell, Lake Mead, Colorado River. And it does help with some groundwater recharge, which is important too. But the main water supply that you know is in the news all the time, that water really comes from the higher elevations, you know, in Colorado
right.
and Utah.
And you have your contest, which ends the last day of September to coincide with the end of the monsoon. Is there an inside candidate in your office that's doing well?
Yeah, monsoon fantasy. So yeah. For those listeners.
It's not fixed, but there is somebody in the office that's doing well.
Right, so we turn the monsoon into a fantasy game where yeah. you can make your own forecasts and you accumulate points depending on how risky and accurate your forecasts are.
Uh-huh.
We had a lot of players. Turns out that, so my colleagues and I, we play as well, but we're not eligible for prizes.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But we play because, you know, we're enthusiasts. We love the monsoon. We pay attention to it. And mm-hmm. we do have a colleague that's running in second place right now. And so I'm actually rooting against him because we also have like a side bet of a beer for the winner. So, but I'm in 24th place. I think we had like close to 400 people sign up. So this is the best I've ever done.
Hey, I want to carve out a minute or two for this news that broke today about folks may remember the volcanic eruption January 15th in the South Pacific on the just off the island, one of the main, there are several, I don't know how many, are in the Tongan archipelago, but this was off the main island, which is known as Tonga. This was the biggest eruption, undersea eruption, that just roared all the way up into the stratosphere. And the stratosphere begins at 8 miles high. The birds were close with that song. But this is 7.5 miles up is where the stratosphere begins. It's normally dry. Because of this eruption, it's now kind of wet. And it's going to, they don't know how long it will last, but add a degree or two worldwide to our temperatures.
So this was really interesting. I actually hadn't heard this. You informed me about this.
Yep.
But what I will say.
Just broke today.
What I will say is that typically when we think of these large eruptions that eject, you know, aerosols into high into the, they're powerful enough that they can actually eject that into the upper levels of the atmosphere, into the stratosphere, which is sort of outside of like our typical circulation. And so they stay a long time up there. Typically we think of cooling because you actually have aerosols that sort of block the sun's rays. This is the sort of opposite effect, which is really quite interesting. And nothing, I hadn't heard of this phenomenon before. It certainly wasn't mainstream in the sense of it occurring in recent history. You know, in the paleo record, you can actually see the eruptions in the temperature record, but it's usually a suppression of global average temperature. So, yeah, and a couple extra added degrees, if this comes to play out, will just add to the, you know, continuing warming trend that, you know, we've been experiencing. And 1 to 2 degrees globally average
yeah.
is very, very large.
It's troubling. This research, by the way, Zach, is being done by one of your colleagues, not one of your direct colleagues, but somebody in the biz up at the University of Saskatchewan in Regina, Saskatchewan. So when you get off here, you might want to check that out. But it is really fascinating that this thing blew its top. I mean, so deep underwater and just kept climbing. What a huge eruption that was.
And I guess I would also say that water vapor, it's a major greenhouse gas. You know, it has a short residence time in our atmosphere because it falls out, but it is a warming, has a warming effect.
All right, Zach Guido, assistant research professor, and they've kind of retooled the name of your organization. It's now the Arizona Institute for Resilience, Environments, and Societies, acronym ARES.
Small, that's, slight name change,
yeah,
recently.
Yeah, that's kind of cool, ARES. okay, Zach, all the best to you. I know you had quite a trip to Bangladesh. We didn't get a chance to talk about that.
But fascinating place. Maybe next time.
Maybe next time. Talk about a place on the front line of climate change. Anyway, Zach, talk to you soon.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, we'll take a break right here, midway point of the Buckmaster Show. Tomorrow, Felipe Garcia from Visit Tucson joins us. Be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Arizonans are facing big challenges these days. Rising costs at the grocery store, the gas pump, and the pharmacy. That's why Mark Kelly is doing whatever it takes in Washington to bring down costs, even when it means standing up to his own party. The son of two police officers, Mark grew up in a house where money was tight. He knows what it means for Arizonans when everyday items cost more.
Sharon, this is Tom.
Thanks to
KBOI
Mark Kelly's work,
calling.
Medicare will finally negotiate down prescription drug
Buckmaster.
Prices. Less money spent
it's
at the pharmacy means more money stays
away
in your pocket.
Going on the air.
Mark is leading the effort to cut red tape for truckers
you again.
And ease
You're not
supply
be able
chain
to call
issues.
Me, so.
And he's pushing for more domestic oil production to bring down gas prices. Because Mark knows that for a lot of people, every little bit counts right now. Senator Mark Kelly, looking out for Arizona, fighting for us.
I'm Mark Kelly, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Mark Kelly for Senate.
Sharon, is that...
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource
right,
to turn
me?
To
right,
for
Sharon?
The objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national
okay,
and local consumer
right.
services
well,
online and in person. Learn more about the many services
the
offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Which... you should be able to hear as well.
The way we vote in Pima County is changing. Are
you
ready?
The
League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson invites you to visit ReadySetVoteTucson.com to learn about new vote centers for easier in-person voting, new voting districts, and changes to the early voting
okay,
list. Get ready to vote at ReadySetVoteTucson.com. Brought to you by the League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson. That's ReadySetVoteTucson.com. Get ready to vote.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
It's time for the CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Sun Corridor Inc., a transformative economic development organization representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America. Sun Corridor Inc. is a CEO-driven regional alliance whose members aggressively champion mega-regional issues that impact economic competitiveness and quality of life. The organization has helped to drive significant business investment into the Tucson and Southern Arizona region through primary job creation, resulting in an economic impact of more than $3.2 billion, with 195 company locates and expansions supporting nearly 55,000 jobs. For more information, visit suncorridorinc.com.
And with us on the live line, Sharon Bronson, chairwoman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Sharon represents the Board of Supervisors on the Sun Corridor Inc. Board of Directors. Hey, Sharon, how are you?
I am fine. It's the, you know, the equinox. So hopefully we're moving forward to a cooler weather. I don't know.
Yeah, I hope so. And we just had a interesting segment with our UA climate guy who said your area there, kind of on the far west, had a pretty good monsoon. I think he said about 7 to 8 inches where you are, your part of town.
It was brilliant. I loved it. But again, you know, we're heading into darker days. But I think, darker, you know, longer nights and cooler weather.
I hear
celebrate that.
I hear your cat. Your cat is not happy you're on the live line.
No, I'm about ready to kick him out.
Well, he may have to leave the room here in a few minutes. But
no, he's leaving the room now.
Oh, he is? Good.
Oh, yeah.
There he goes. Gone. Cat gone. You were talking
How that is.
Yeah, it is getting dark earlier, but I'll tell you, there's a little light certainly on this equinox day. This news, I think it's pretty darn important. A group called, it's a company that's a leading global autonomous driving technology company.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they made a big announcement today about their plans for Tucson, Arizona. The company is called Pony, PONY.AI, and I guess the AI would be like artificial intelligence. Is that what
that's exactly?
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
So what's the deal here? They're going to start testing autonomous vehicles in town.
Oh, they definitely are, and we've already done it with another company. And I've got to give a shout out to Sun Corridor. They're the longest serving economic development group in county history. In the last 17 years, their team have given us wins such as Caterpillar, Raytheon, new headquarters, Hexagon, and now we've got this. And they helped us bring that home. So, you know, a shout out to them.
And, you know, we're always talking about how Pima is a player in workforce development. Pony.ai is going to partner with Pima Community College. It's going to base its operations at Pima's new Automotive Technology and Innovation Center located at the downtown campus. This is going to be the first and only location in Arizona for this company.
And I think that just says how good we are and what we do. Economic development is a team sport. We've got Pima Community College, our regional partners, and that's how we succeed.
Yeah, and you'd kind of alluded to this other. Pima's also been working with Too Simple. That's like capital T, small U, simple.
Yep.
And they've been doing these autonomous vehicles, but not for like passenger vehicles. I think they're more for like trucks and stuff. So now this will be for passenger vehicles. And if people are worried that, oh my goodness, there's going to be these vehicles running around town without anybody at the drivers, they do have safety drivers behind the wheel.
Yes. Yes. But again, it's new technology. We're moving forward. The world changes. We need to understand that and move forward.
Let's talk a little bit about Pima County's role in economic development. And you said that really Sun Corridor, there's been, since you've been on the board, you've seen several economic development organizations. Do you think Sun Corridor has gotten it right?
Oh, I definitely, and I just told you how. I mean, how much have they brought into our economy over the last, 17 years? Indeed, Sun Corridor is the longest standing and most successful in it's my personal point of view, but in the last 17 years, Joe Snell, his team, again, brought in Caterpillar, got Raytheon new headquarters, Hexagon downtown expansion, Amazon multiple locations, and you already mentioned Too Simple. And no, it's nearly 200 companies and 55,000 jobs and $32 billion in economic impact. So I think that says why Sun Corridor is important. And, you know, economic development is a team sport, whether it's our public or private partnerships, but whoever, if anybody wins, we all win in this economy and in this region.
Sharon, so Pima County has an internal economic development team. So what is their focus, and how does that coincide with what Sun Corridor is doing?
Again, I just said it's the three P's, and that, you know, public-private partnerships. But, you know, we've got a new team now. We're working on a new strategy. We've contracted with a third-party organization to engage Pima County, updating our strategic plan. And this approach is different from that of the past. It needs to be a collaborative effort. And it is not only, small businesses, higher education, absolutely, workforce development. That's what they need to concentrate on, infrastructure. And by infrastructure, I'm not sure my colleagues mean, but we need to get stuff ready. Just when businesses want to relocate here, we need to have our team making sure that happens, that we have the infrastructure in place.
It's such a you said it's a team sport. My goodness, the competition has just become so fierce, and the pandemic made it even more so, didn't it?
Yes, it's been certainly an interesting transition, but it's been fascinating, and I think it's worked to our advantage.
And maybe in the next segment after the break, we can talk a little bit about the pivot playbook that Sun Corridor developed to map out the recovery plan from the pandemic. But before we do that, Pima County supports not only Sun Corridor, Sharon, but also Visit Tucson. And tomorrow, my guest, my Friday Focus interview guest is Felipe Garcia of Visit Tucson. Is that an investment that's well worth it?
Oh, 100%. You know, again, economic development, team sport. Felipe brings in people, and then Sun Corridor works with them. We can't do it without those two players, and they are incredibly amazing.
All right, let's take a break right here. We'll have more with Sharon Bronson talking about economic development on the Buckmaster Show. We will be right back in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Our monthly CEO interview series is presented by Sun Corridor, Inc. Sharon Bronson is our guest. Sharon represents, not only is she the chairwoman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, but she also represents the board on the Sun Corridor, Inc. Board of Directors. Sharon, how have things changed coming out of the pandemic? And I know that Sun Corridor put out this, there were five areas in a pivot playbook. We can probably talk a little bit about them. But how is that going?
I think we're moving forward. Again, with COVID, the world has changed. But that means that we've got to focus on a new plan that includes internally, our economic development staff. We need to work on infrastructure development, foreign direct investment opportunities, and Sun Corridor is doing that with us. And it's time to rebrand our region in terms of economic development. It's not just about Pima County, unincorporated Pima County, but about the region. You know, whether it's Oro Valley, Marana, Zarita, City of Tucson, we have some opportunities and it gets to one of those, we all win. And we need to understand, we need to be partners.
The whole area of transportation and logistics, and we started this interview talking about the announcement today that an autonomous driving company called Pony.ai has expanded now into Tucson, will be doing testing here. As far back as the economic blueprint for Tucson that came out in 2007, that was updated in 2014, that was one of the hopes and one of the areas that really had been focusing on. And I think that is coming to fruition for sure, that particular area. But others that were mentioned in those in 2007 and in 2014, aerospace and defense, renewable energy and mining technology and bioscience and healthcare. One of the things that Joe Snell has talked about that we really need to get our existing roads and infrastructure repaired, the logistics really need healthy roads. Are we making the progress we need in that area?
No.
Nope.
I mean, we're doing some things, but that is, you know, from my perspective as an elected official, it's one of our statutory responsibilities, but I don't think we're doing enough. And I think we need to do more. If you want to attract big businesses, and I mean, you mentioned a few, but don't forget battery manufacturing, clean energy. And again, you know, electric vehicle relies on supply chain. And then you didn't mention optics and photonics. So those are some possibilities, but we don't want to beat an old drum. We need to fix our roads.
Yeah, we do. And there's a huge decision that is going to be coming here. There's a very important meeting at the end of October with all the players, all the stakeholders for the Regional Transportation Authority, looking ahead to what's being called RTA Next. Everybody's got to get on board here for this thing to work.
Yes, they do. And we need to fix our roads. Yes, we can do, we can do bike lanes. We can do all of these things. But most importantly, we need to fix the roads that aren't up to standard. If we want to attract businesses, that's one of the best ways we can do it, in my opinion.
So that's certainly one of the big weaknesses. What's one of the big strengths to regarding business attraction and retention?
I think we're working with our partners in Marana, Sarita, and certainly Oro Valley. They understand this is a region, and if any of those jurisdictions benefit. We all do. Our relationship with the city of Tucson is not as copacetic, but I'm hoping that will change. If it doesn't, then again, economic development is a team sport. When the region benefits, everybody benefits. But we need to fix our roads, bottom line.
How about Old Tucson? How did that, a lot of people had said, oh, Old Tucson is old and dead, but Old Tucson is really going to have a resurgence. That's going to be coming back with Nightfall in October. How did the whole deal come about that Old Tucson acquired, there was interest in that new owners took over, Sharon Bronson?
Well, I'm so glad you asked that question. I'm so glad it's coming back. But it was forced to close in September of 2020 due to COVID. We put together a 14-member task force to provide input. And we, after they did that, and again, two groups responded to that, but we contracted with American Heritage Railways out of Colorado, and we awarded them the contract. It was founded in 1998 and has experience in running tourist attractions. And, you know, we're going to start this October 6th, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun with that. The technology has been, we actually, meaning Pima County, we did some renovations, but the technology on site has been upgraded. We've got new lighting, sound throughout the property and in the Grand Palace, stage two buildings. And I'm going out there. I'm going to have some fun.
Yeah, it should be good. And I hope they get some movie making back to that area, Sharon.
I think they are. And I think we'll have a Christmas event at Old Tucson starting mid-November, running through the end of the year.
And good.
So we're back. We're back in the game.
That's good news. And also the Mineral Museum in the beautifully restored courthouse, I'm sure that's attracting quite a few tourists as well.
Well, and I think, again, as I said earlier, economic development is a team sport. And when you look at Visit Tucson and you look at Sun Corridor, they're working together. This is why everything is happening. It's you got to work with everybody. And kudos to Joe Snell, Felipe Garcia. Okay. Wow, they've done. Again, kudos to Felipe, because when you have Visit Tucson, they have an ability to attract people, and then
gotta go.
Sun Corridor can connect.
Sharon, gotta go. Thank you very much.